Well, we're teaching over in a teaching we called Courage and Commitment. And we did the fun part first. No, but the commitment is a good part. One of the things, I want you to pay a lot of attention to this commitment part, because teaching in this area, I believe because of the lack of teaching in this area, people have struggled in the areas of making commitment. They haven't understood it, you know. Many times, it's sort of like this. You know, teaching things in the wrong manner or in the wrong way. You know, lots of times, whether people like to admit it or not, lots of times, like say, we have a scriptural teaching, prosperity. It's scriptural. And it, the word, I mean, if you don't believe in prosperity, then you have a part of the scripture you don't believe in. I believe in prosperity. But many times, the teaching on prosperity, not all the time, I mean, there's wonderful teachers on it, but many times people taught it, ministers taught it to get money, not to bless the people. And so you get a good, it is something good to be taught, but it's not taught properly. And it don't bless the people like it should. There's nothing more wonderful to sit under somebody's teaching on the subject who has the congregation in mind instead of their own wallet. That's a, I mean, tell you, it's a whole big difference. And what we're going to do is commitment. Lots of times commitment has been taught wrong. Lots of times ministers and pastors taught commitment in their church because they were trying to get something out of the people and not to bless the people. Commitment's about you getting blessed. The more I understand commitment, the more I've walked in the areas of commitment, the more my life's been blessed. The less you walk in it, the less blessing you're going to see in your life. It's a wonderful thing. Commitment's a great thing. It's a wonderful thing. And it's to bless your life. It ain't to make you do something you don't want to do. That's not what it is. You know, and so there needs to be a perspective you can teach on a wrong thing. I mean, you can still learn from it. I've heard people teach it and they had the wrong motive in it. But there's things that they said were the scripture were true and they helped me. You know, you got to listen to what's right, whether the motive in the person's wrong or not. Listen to what's right. They might be doing wrong, but if it's the word, then we need it. And, you know, sometimes ministers have misused the word on things, but nonetheless, it was a word. Just put it in the right perspective. It'll help you. So, you know, don't throw it out. But we're dealing here as a commitment. We were talking last week, and we really emphasized the areas about discipleship and what Jesus said, our commitment to Christ. And this is important. Many people are trying to commit to a lot of things in their life and trying to do things, but it's number one that our commitment to Christ is the primary for the Christian faith for us to succeed and the commitments we need to have in life and what we need to be committed to. If you're not committed to Christ, the rest of it will always be difficult for you to do. It'll be hard for you to do. Once you realize your importance, your commitment to Him, He'll be able to help you and instruct you so you'll be benefited by your commitment. That's what you want to do. What good's commitment if it doesn't benefit you? If we have all of these blessings of God that are in the Scripture for us, and I make commitment ain't about throwing out the blessing. Commitment's for your success. You need courage because if you're going to have commitment, you're going to need courage. Because many times we get over in the areas of courage. Courage is to do things many times that don't seem always the easiest to do or sometimes don't even seem like the thing to do. But having the courage to do the Word of God, committing ourselves to it's a very important thing. Now in Luke 14, we're going to go back over there to read because I'm going to go back over some things here that we had in last week because of where we're going to. We're sort of doing what Brother Hagin used to talk to. He said he used to teach like a train. He said he had like box cars. He said, we'll just unhook here and we'll hook back up the next time at this spot. We'll come back again and you hook up there to go on. And we're just doing a hook up here on some cars. In Luke 14 and verse 26, Jesus said this. Remember, this is Jesus. Sounds very harsh, but what I say, you know, whatever God says, something, stick with God. Don't ever, you know, go take another direction because you didn't like what you heard. He said in verse 26, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. That's powerful words, isn't it? You know, that's strong talk. But one of the things we want to know is what God's dealing with. And as we go along, we're going to look at this. God is looking at our affections. In other words, where's our number one affection put at? It's hugely important. I mean, think about the fact of it is, you know, if we would talk a relationship in marriage and a commitment in marriage, could I have a commitment to Wanda in marriage if I have affections for another woman? No, it wouldn't work in the same way with her. If her affections would be someplace else or in something else, we're going to have problems. There's going to be trouble. And see, and it's like anything else. Say, maybe me being a minister would be number one in my affections over my affection for her. You know, ministry don't come before my wife. Ministry's not number one. See, most people, they have things that get things out of order. If you're out of order, don't expect things to work. You got to keep the order. See, there's one thing. You know, my children, I've seen this happen in ministry. I've seen a lot of people's kids rebel and get into sin and stuff that are in ministry. And their kids rebel. And people say, well, you know, their kids become targets of the devil. Well, it don't matter if my kids were, devil's going to try to target them. I don't want to be the guy aiming the gun. Many ministers are the ones that aim the gun. Because they put ministry before their family. There's one thing is my kids knew this, that the ministry never became before my family. They were number one. My kids didn't grow up hating the ministry because their dad was so busy with ministry, he didn't have time to play. He didn't have time to do stuff. Our kids grew up, we did things with them. We made sure that our kids were cared for. They had stuff in life. All the money didn't go to ministry. I used to tell the Lord, you don't provide for the family, I don't work for you. He likes that. That's why He's always blessed me. I have never done without stuff for our family. We've never done without. Why? Right commitments. See, right commitments bring blessing. Wrong commitments. This is the thing, as family, people get to, they have things that become more important and become the thing. You got to get them in line. You got to get in line. Why? Because there's payoff to it. There's a payoff. And so you don't want to get things out of line. And today we've gotten out of line in things. You know, it's like, you know, when I gave the statistics of children without fathers, 20 million in our nation that are grown up, 20 million kids without fathers in the home. Oh, man, it's sad, man. It's really sad. All of this comes, God laid down principles of blessing, and people are not following God. They have today, we have a different morality and different things, and I'm just really amazed. I mean, it Christians, and you know, it's one thing, it's about commitment and making it work. You know, it takes two sides. It takes both sides. You know, you can go out there and try to make it work, and the other one works against it all the time. Sometimes you just can't make it work. Sometimes, you know, you need to get rid of the other one. Because they ain't going to do good. I feel bad for people. But sometimes a partner can be more detrimental to the family than, you know, living together. And it's a shame. It is an absolute shame. And especially when people use the name of Christ. They use the name of Christ, say they're Christians, and then they live like hell. Destroy their family, living like hell. And they, you know, it's like, my God. That's why it's number one. I just, you know, always encourage people, especially with marriage is a big decision. And, man, pray and get God's advice on that one. Hey, yeah, I mean, my words. You know, marriage can just be, it can be a wonderful thing, or marriage can be a hell. It can be a hell. Man, it can be, a wrong decision can really mess up your life. You know, I always thank God, you know, from the standpoint of being in the ministry, you know, as sinners, Wanda and I got married and that stuff. But, you know, one of the things I thought about, there's one thing is I made a commitment to the Lord. I said, Lord, and this is before I got saved. I told the Lord concerning Wanda. I said, the night that I was, you know, got saved, there's things that I might talk about today that has to do with when I got saved. Because God dealt with me in a supernatural way in certain things before I ever got saved. And it had all over to do with salvation. He explained some things to me from scriptures and stuff that he explained things to me. Because I asked questions. I'm going to find out why. Because most people don't. And most people, that's why they enter Christianity with no commitment. Because The gospel mostly is not preached today and hasn't been for years. Parts of it have. And we have a gospel of believing, but we don't have a gospel of commitment to that believing. We don't have a gospel preached to that. There is none. And we're going to find out why, because we'll look at Jesus. Jesus talked here about discipleship. And anyhow, you know, God dealing with me, you know, about things and asking God, you know, I had to ask God questions about stuff. I mean, even from the standpoint, I said to the Lord about even with the areas of drinking. This poor, I got born. I said, Lord, if I have to quit, give up drinking, I said, I can't get saved. And I'll never forget this. Now, I'm not born again. God ain't in me. But this voice said to me just as clear, said to me, who told you that? He said, my word doesn't say anything like that. So I wondered if it did. So I started reading the Gospels. That's all. Well, I just somehow knew. I knew Jesus was talking to me. And somehow I just went over and started reading. And I looked, read through the Gospels. And I'm there reading in the Gospels through things. And while I was, the Lord showed me things to move me in line to salvation. Explain things. Let me just say this. You know, when I went to get saved, like people don't do. One of the things we're going to talk about is counting the cost, which is not in the gospel today. We've removed that because it makes people uncomfortable, and we ain't been preaching that for 30 years. And this is one of the great problems that we have today is slothful Christianity, and it's the big ministries are filled with it because they won't tell the truth about things for people coming in. People need to hear the truth to make decision. You need to know the truth to make decision. It isn't. Jesus said, never said, go into the world and make believers. Never said that. He said, make disciples of all nations. The church has 90% believers today, and maybe 10% disciples. People believe it, but they never become a disciple. They'll live and die and never be. And the Spirit-filled church is full of them. The gospel is something you just try to get more money, you try to get more of this, you try to have this, you try to have that. But it isn't about after Jesus. It's about being after Jesus. It's about His will. Without Him, this thing don't work. Without devotion to Him, it don't work. Words on a confession amount to nothing without Jesus. They're just wind blowing. It's about Jesus. He's the guy that made this thing work. He's the one that set this in motion. I get to sit on His throne. And if I ain't talking from that position, Ed's blowing wind. And see, we've left that, and we've left the glory, and we've given people a salvation that's weak. It's frail. People expect to sin. They expect not to live right. They expect, I mean, it's the expectancy. We're just getting through here, and one day Jesus is going to come and get us out of here, and we're going to get to go to someplace nice. Let's have some glory here. Hallelujah. And that's His intent, is glory here. We're going to talk about getting that glory. Jesus wants disciples. In other words, I read from the Amplified. I'm going to read it to you again today from the Amplified, those same scriptures. Jesus said, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother, in the sense of indifference to or relative disregard for them in comparison with his attitude toward God, and likewise, his wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry his own cross expresses a willingness to endure whatever may come and follow after me, believing in me, conforming to my example and living, if need be, suffer or perhaps dying because of faith in me, cannot be my disciple. You see, when I came to Jesus, and I'm going to back to where I was before concerning Wanda, I went to the Lord and I said, I talked to him about Wanda is not accepting this. And I made a commitment to the Lord. I said, because, you know, I thought about this. But, you know, I was acting in a scriptural way, not realizing that I was. But, you know, there's one thing as I found out. See, the Holy Spirit led me to salvation. Per se, there's people who had preached the gospel I'd heard. But I got born again by the Holy Spirit leading me in line with Scripture. I didn't even realize it. And what He led me to was making a commitment. And I'm going to show you. It's absolute, the scriptural accuracy. He led me to a commitment where I realized I had to make a commitment. And I came to the bit and I said, I'll tell you what, I said, when I finally made the decision that I was going to accept the Lord, I said, Lord, even if Wanda doesn't follow and she goes, she leaves, she don't want to go. Because I didn't know if I was heading this direction, what she was going to think. I didn't know. But I made a commitment that I would follow him even if she didn't. I'm going to follow. I said, if she'd leave, then she leaves. But this is my direction. I'm going to go. Well, see, God led me to making a commitment. God led me to that place of commitment. See, we don't have gospel preaching. Now, I can tell you this. Back in the 1950s, they preached a gospel of commitment. They don't today. They preached a gospel of commitment. It's just like the Lord said this to me, and I've told you about this before. The Lord spoke to me just as clear when I was considering over what I was going to do with my life because of God dealing with me. The Lord said this to me. He said, there's no such thing as a closet Christian. See, I heard people and I heard ministers use that term today. Well, that's man's term. God don't believe in it. Only ministers believe in that stuff because they have their own gospel. The gospel's been changed. He said, there's no such thing as a gospel. Jesus said this, if you don't confess me before men, I won't confess you before the Father. Gee, I wonder who's accurate on this thing. I wonder who has the accuracy. We have a lot of false said today, and I'm not saying to be mean to people or anything, but we got to get a lot of junk out of the church that we call gospel that Christians have in them, and it's wrong. Let's compare the scripture. Let's go, what does the Bible say? If we follow the Bible, I'm going to tell you what, you're going to be on fire for Jesus. You're going to walk boldly toward Jesus. You're going to walk in a life where God's blessing is going to come on you. Hallelujah. And it's going to be in manifestation, not something discussed, not something to talk about Christianity. It'll be a Christianity that shows up. And it's time we had that in America. We need a show up Christianity. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The manifestation of God in the life of a human being. Hallelujah. Praise God. In Luke 16:13, Jesus said, no servant can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You can't serve God and mammon. In other words, the loyalty. In other words, there's got to be a commitment to something here. You can't have things both ways. We're told in the church world today, you can. You can have it both ways. You can be, you can accept Jesus Christ, and you know, once saved, always saved, you can serve whatever you want, and you'll end up in heaven. You know, it's very interesting with what they call the rich young ruler. If you ever go read that, sit down and read it sometime, it's very interesting. But Jesus didn't quote to that, when that man came to him and said, what do I have to do to be saved? And Jesus quoted 9 commandments, he didn't quote 10. He quoted 1 he didn't quote. And that's the one the guy wasn't doing. Because then when he turned around and said this, the one he didn't quote was covetousness. And he turned around and said to the guy, take all you have and sell. Give it to the poor. Come and follow me. The guy said, adios. See you later. Jesus didn't go, oh, no. Hold it, hold it. You just believe me. It's all going to be all right. Did he? No. You see, Jesus was it. Why? He was covetous. He loved stuff. He loved stuff. He wanted two masters. He wanted Jesus and the stuff. Now, that doesn't mean you can't have stuff, but you understand, you need to understand this. Commitment to Christ means God's going to deal with you about something you have in your life that's above Him. You know, one of the things that God dealt with me on was the areas of money when I first got born again. He had, and a couple times, had us give away all of our money. And I was glad that He did because He taught me. Now, another person, that may not bother at all. That thing, but you know what? God broke me of the thing of money being as important. I learned to be, He was important. You need to understand this. To be a disciple of Jesus, there's things you're going to have to deal with. People have different places and different things. They have different things in their life that are more important than Jesus. There's things that people that they won't do certain things because it might upset a certain person. There's people that they're, you're going to have to deal with. God's going to deal with you. Now look, I'm not saying be me. Why? Because there's a place of freedom He wants you to walk. There's a place that stops you from being blessed. I don't know what it is. Maybe you got it all right. Wow, praise God, hallelujah. But there's a place within us. There's things within us. He comes to those places. Why? That's a place where we can't get over into the freedom to take a hold of what God wants to do. It's a place that blocks us from the freedom of having all of Him. You know, I don't want just part of Jesus. I don't want to just look, you're not going to die, but you're going to limp all your life. Most Christians are sad. Most Christians will limp all their life. And they become satisfied with that. No. I want the whole Jesus. I want the Jesus that takes away the limp. Hallelujah. I want all what He got. And that's what this commitment thing's about. It's not to hurt you. It's so you can enter into all of it. Hallelujah. You can walk. Jesus cannot be looking at you and say, you give me all of this and I ain't giving you nothing. Then he ain't no better than somebody who was just trying to take you across. He's not like that. Jesus is going to be fine whether you follow Him or not. Whatever He does for us and does in dealing with us is specifically for the blessing of us. That's what it is. You know, I found out this. I'd say, God, I want you to be able to use me. And it would always start off, He'd start dealing with me about things I need to correct. Why? Because He needs to bring me to a place where He can use me. If you don't want to change, quit asking Him to use you. Quit asking Him to do something through you. Because you're going to find out, for Him to really be able to use you, you're going to have to, you know, it's sort of like a circuit in something. I mean, you can't have, you know, corroded connections and have a good electrical flow through something. They got to clean it up, you know, and that kind of stuff. You know, you can't have that old battery in there and that thing that corroded inside that thing has made the terminals a mess. And we just stick a new battery in, it'll work. That's Christianity today. Christianity is full of corrosions, keeps trying to get God to stick a new battery in. It'll never work. Most of you don't need a new battery. You need to clean up. I can't find out if I did. I'm not talking about awful, terrible sin, but there's things, our devotion and love toward things, trying to get things corrected. This is one of the things that I was so glad of this. When I first got born again, God didn't deal me a bunch about ministry. He dealt with me about my family relationship, which was wonderful. He taught me how to be a loyal person. Most Christians don't know very much about loyalty. Now, I'm not saying all, but most don't. They're not loyal. We wouldn't have all the trouble in the church world today, from family to you name it, if people understood it. But God dealt with me. This is why I never quite understood about when you come down and they'd have these classes for new Christians, is always dealing with all kind of stuff for them to get stuff. It ain't going to work. They don't need to know how to, most of them don't need to know how to get stuff right away. What they need to know is know how to become a disciple and listen to Jesus and get their lives changed. You know what? The getting stuff is simple. It don't take nothing to get stuff. It's when you're trying. You know what's hard? Trying to get stuff when you ain't clean. That's hard. That's hard. It's easy. And see, I learned. God taught me things along the way about healing and all that. But the big thing that God dealt with me was how to be a father to a family. I wouldn't fit. Most Christians don't understand today. The majority of Christianity don't understand. Most people think they're good parents and they're not. Not in God's eyes. Loyalties aren't right. Things aren't right. But they see themselves as, we're doing good. We have money and that stuff. We send our kids to college. We do all this kind of stuff. But they're raising heathens. They're raising people who are following the world system. They're doing those things. And they think, I'm a believer, but we're okay. Pagans. You know, it's like the pagan motorcycle gang. Might as well get tattooed and buy a bike. I ain't got nothing against bikers. But I'll just tell you, we have a lot of strangeness. We have a lot of strange things going on out here. Hallelujah. In Matthew 10:37, Jesus made this a similar statement. He said, "He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me." So I want you just to understand this. Dr. Phil is 100% wrong. Dr. Phil said in the family, the children should always come first. Loads of Christians listen to that kind of trash and listen to these shows. They like listening to them. Why? They like to listen to all that trash and all that. They bring out people's garbage on this show. If you watch those shows, you're sick. You shouldn't be watching. I don't need other people's bad laundry stuffed in my nose. That's entertainment. I'll tell you what. I'd rather see a horror movie than watch that stuff, because that stuff is the most scum to watch, because it gets at things get seeded into you about stuff that is worse than anything. A lot of things you can look and see what's wrong with it. What's terrible about that stuff? There's a sense of good to it. And the devil will eat your lunch quicker on that stuff than he will anything. He'll get you to accept things easier. You know, you sit and watch that other stuff, you know it ain't right. You ain't going along with that. But it's that nice little, also today, most Christians, just throw a little sugar on it. Man, the Christians will eat it. I'll tell you what. They'll just jump on it. You don't do that. Hallelujah. One of the things we want to know about this disciple, now Jesus talked about this thing, live right. Why? To be a disciple. Now I want you to know, understand this is why. I've taught about this before, but I want you to see it in the context we're talking about here. If we look over at the parable of the sower, if you turn to the book of Mark, in the parable of the sower, Jesus told a parable of the sower, but he did not tell that parable. He did not explain the parable. He just told it and didn't explain it. This is one thing you need to understand, is this was a constant thing with Jesus. Jesus would tell parables and he wouldn't explain the parables. Go study about the parables. One of the craziest things it is in Christianity, and I know from teaching in a Bible school, I listened to some of the classes that they were teaching in the Bible school while I was there, and I couldn't believe what some of the teachers were teaching and saying. And they were talking like Jesus just would always explain and teach stuff. No, he doesn't. You need to understand this. Jesus explains to disciples. He doesn't explain to all believers. He explains to disciples. We're going to show it in Scripture. What's about? These people are out here. You know, hordes of people come out following Jesus. Jesus tells a parable, but can you imagine us? What if I got today and I told a story and then just ended that and just walked off and left? Should I tell you what will happen today in the church world? This has happened in the church world. I'll guarantee you, as sure as the sun comes up in the hope, the majority of the people, majority would say, well, what's he trying to do? They wouldn't come and ask me, what were you trying to say? What was that about? Jesus didn't run around just trying to give people something all the time. He wanted people to go after something. If you're not going after something, you're not a disciple. If you always have to be spoon-fed, you're not a disciple. Ooh. If somebody else has to do all the study and give it to you, you're not a disciple. Okay. I'll get back up here, okay? All right. In Mark, but Jesus, now this is what happened. Jesus told this thing, and Mark the 4th chapter, verse 9 says, "And he said to them, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. But when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable." So we want to find out. So those who were around him, when he was alone, in other words, when all the crowd left. Now just think that. Now there's a group of people and the 12, they ain't left. Why? They didn't hear all they wanted to hear. Hold it. And so they go and they say to him, and he said to them, verse 10, "But when he was alone, those around him, the 12, came and what? Ask about the parable." They ask. He didn't explain it till they asked. Listen to what he says. "And he said to them, to you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to those who are outside, all things come in parable." They're the outside. These are the people that are outside. We have many in the church world today. They've been brought into the kingdom to live on the outside. That's where they're just believers. They've never been told. Nobody ever tells them. They don't know they're supposed to have a commitment to anything. And they're not committed to it. You know, they're trying to give us some money and checks. And I say, oh, you're good, man. You're in the church. You're all right. You know, you do a little something here or there. You're okay. You're good. And they don't tell them the truth about the things. They don't speak to them what they need to do to become a disciple. These ones said, hold it. Jesus, why'd you tell that parable? What's it about? I want to know. There's got to be more to this thing. What's it about? And he says to them, the ones that come and ask, he says, this is for you to know about. This is for you. Those on the outside. He said, so that why? What is the purpose with these one out here? So seeing they may see and not perceive. Hearing they may hear and not understand. Lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them. What? What? Does that Jesus get preached today? No, that's a different Jesus. That guy in the book, we got a better one today. We made one up. Takes care of everything no matter what you do. We got the Jesus, man. We got the one, you know. In Matthew, telling about the same thing with the parable, in Matthew the 13th chapter and verse 10, it says, and the disciples came and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? Why do you tell them parables? And he answered and he said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them it has not been given. You need to understand this. Jesus said himself he was sent to the lost tribe of Israel. He was sent to Israel. He was sent to reach them. Yet, he wasn't going to just spoon feed them. They had to want it. You see, they weren't taught anything about, you know, from a standpoint of commitment. There's a commitment that one must, it's like truth. Think about this from the natural. You know, there's people who, like, say they go to school, then they say go to college. There's something they want to maybe gain knowledge of to work in a field, and they will just keep going down after it. Now, today, this is what we have in our society. Most people want those things, but they don't have to go after them. Just give it to me. Give me the good job. Give me the thing. Give me this. Give me that. So most Christians, that's what Jesus is to them. Well, the Bible says you did this for it. Well, give this to me. Just give it. They won't go after it. They don't go after it. They expect to sit back and just get it. You ain't going to do it. It ain't happening. It ain't coming. It's about going after it. There's a God side to things, but there's a man side. And we got to start getting with the man side. Do you ever notice what you need don't show up for you just because you need it? Have you ever noticed that? It don't show up just because you need it. There's no such thing as faith without action. There's no such thing as faith without doing. There is no such thing. It's not biblical. Now, it has happened today. We have it today. We have talk Christianity. Now, good talk is good. But it ain't just talk. You got to go after it. You got to sit down and look in the Word. You got to stay after a thing. Whatever you want to become good at, you're going to have to put time into it. There's sacrifice. We talked about that before. There's sacrifice. You must put time into it. There is no other way to do it. There is no other way to grow up spiritually. No other way to do it. There isn't. I don't know. If you got a better way, you show me. Because I've been wasting my time. I've been over here in this thing, this study thing, man. I've been over here looking into this stuff and putting stuff together and noting and, you know, and all this stuff. I've been doing these kinds of things. Is there a better way? Well, if there is, I haven't been told yet. But there's one thing I've had. My way is working for me. It's getting God's blessing to work. It's getting things to, for God's being able to open the door to things to me. There's one thing about, I have no problem getting revelation. Sometimes I get more revelation than I think, like, slow it up. But you get over things. You get into this area of being a disciple. Did you ever see Jesus neglecting giving revelation to the disciples? Yet we find most people he did. He didn't give them the revelation. So we need to understand this. Why? There's an operation of the kingdom here. We've left behind. We've left that set. You know, it doesn't fit our stuff today. Now, I want us to back up to Luke 14 again, because this is what we want to talk about here. This will be helpful to you about commitment. Because Jesus explains. Now, remember, we read what he said, what you have to do to be a disciple. Now, those two verses just in themselves are not a good explanation about all he wanted to say, because he went on to speak. And in Luke, the 14th chapter, this is something, and the Lord's really emphasized me to talk about this area, because this is going to help you. And I want to just say this going into you, this to you. You never make commitment off the spur of the moment. Never. Never. You will break most commitments that you make off the spur of the moment. You'll break them. You will. Commitment to something is hugely important. It's very important to God. If it's important to God, then it should become highly important to us. And this is one of the things is why, is commitment needs to be thought and pondered on. Even getting born again in salvation. That's why many people make a confession of Jesus Christ and never follow it. They don't ever follow Jesus. Billy Graham even admitted. Billy Graham, we equate him with millions coming to Christ. I'm sorry, not as many came to Christ as they say. Billy Graham said this himself. The majority of people who come to Christ in my meetings don't follow Christ. What's the point? What's the point? Let me tell you, this is not criticism about Billy Graham. This is what the way you've been taught to preach. You know, this is the way they do it. Did you ever really hear Billy Graham give an altar call of commitment to Christ? You never heard that. Oh, it's always this, come and get to Jesus, get saved, you know, you'll be, God loves you. And all that's true. The average person, I believe, one time, I think it was somewhere around, they said the average person who comes to Christ has heard the gospel on the average about 10 times before they did. They had heard the gospel. And I think they said on the average, they used to do some studies they did on this, on people who got born again. Now I want you to see in Luke, let's see, what did Jesus say about commitment? Now Jesus made these remarks about what you got to love. So in other words, Jesus is definitely asking you people for a deep commitment. Now then he explains about how you make this commitment. How you do it. He explained what you do to make this commitment. See, this is really helpful, because this is if Jesus said how you make the commitment, we should know that, not just the I got to make a commitment. Well, how do I do it? Listen, in Luke 14 and verse 28 says this, for which of you intend to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it, lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. What does he say to do? In other words, now Jesus is using an illustration here, telling us, he says, now he uses a natural illustration. He said a guy building something. In other words, don't go building something unless, don't go start it unless you know you can finish it. Don't go start. In other words, you got to sit. So what's it going to take? It might take a little planning here. It might take a little thinking about this thing. It might take something. In other words, Jesus, remember, now he started this thing about this commitment, this love you have to have for him, this commitment to be a disciple. Now he says, now what? You got to be thinking about this. Why? I've watched this. I worked at Reese Candy Company, and I watched loads and loads of people come to Christ, and over time they quit following Christ, and then the sinners start mocking them. See, yeah, they went through this thing, and they went through it. Why? They never made commitments. And people say, yeah, see, they started, but they didn't finish. They didn't get to do that with me. Why? Because I came to Christ in a commitment. And it was a well-thought-out commitment. That's what God led me to. God led me to make a commitment. There's things that I sat down. One of the things that I did, see, I didn't get born again off the spur of the moment. Months. The end of 1979, I was months in the end of 1979, months where the Holy Spirit was dealing with me. And I was, I sat down and thought about it. That's when the Holy Spirit said to me, there's no such thing as a closet Christian. So I realized this. If I accept Christ, I can't go accept Christ and just go back to what I was. I knew that I couldn't. And I knew when I went back to work, I knew this. I would have to tell people. I was the number one Christian persecutor in Rome. I just had nothing to do with Christianity. So I knew I'm going to have to go tell people what I did. I knew it. I knew there was no this closet Christian. I'm this, nobody else knows that I'm a Christian. If nobody knows you're a Christian, you're probably not. Say what you want, do what you want. The Lord dealt with me of what I could not do. And I'll tell you what, it took me a long time. On that issue alone, took me at least probably about a month or so. I thought about that and dwelt about it. Am I going to be willing to do this? Am I going to be willing? You see, this is about commitment. See, I started off as a disciple. I didn't wait till I was Christian for 14, 15 years and then decide I finally want to follow God. I became a disciple. See, this is one thing. I knew why I end up so far ahead of so many people coming in the kingdom. Because God could teach me. So many he can never teach because they never make a commitment toward him. So they don't ever get taught. They can't go very far. Now, he didn't do that to me. But see, God dealt with me. This is what the Bible says. The Holy Spirit, his job is this, to convict, or we could say convince the world of sin. How often do you hear the gospel given in an altar call given where they're trying to convince the world of sin? No. People don't feel they've done anything guilty at all. They just need a Savior. You need more than a Savior. Jesus is not going to mean any more to you than you realize what a scumbag, stinking thing you were. He's valuable to me because I saw the thing the Holy Spirit showed me was how bad I was, that my lifestyle was killing my family and going to send it to hell because of my living. My living was destroying my family. You see, the Holy Spirit brought me to that. Why? Because he was teaching me the value of salvation. We don't teach the value of salvation today. It's not taught. It's just about getting stuff. It's about getting a bad marriage fixed. It's about this. It's about that. God was telling the first thing the Holy Spirit taught me of what a worthless idiot I was. Why? The Bible says that's his job. Not in the church today. This is one thing that I know from this is I understood these things because when I was a kid, back in the 1950s, they used to preach a different gospel than they do today. And they preached a gospel that would put you under conviction. You thought you were going to hell. And it was rightfully so. That's where you were going. Today, oh no, we don't do that. And that's why. That's why in America today we have such a worthless Christianity. That's why there's so few disciples. Jesus Christ is not valuable. He's just something to help me out of my problems. When I live like the sinners and then he helps me overcome. But see, God was showing me my condition that was scriptural. See, when I look back over things, the Lord was talking to me this weekend about this, about sharing these things, about coming to Christ. He said to share these things because he said to let people see, this is in line with the Word. He moved me in line with the Word. The Holy Spirit brought me to the point that I knew that I needed Christ, that if I wanted a better future for my family and eternally them not being lost, I had to make a change. Now, I knew this. This change is going to cost. I knew that. This is what he showed me. It's going to cost. I can't go and have my own life. I can't have it. You can't have your own life. You've been wasting your time trying to get it. Just get on the cross and get over it. If you died to you, you wouldn't be... you'd be so excited if you did that and found out the blessing of that. Just get there and die. You find out that... your life and your thinking and you just die and let Jesus, you got me. Hallelujah. What do you want to do, Lord God? Hallelujah. Bless me. You know, I'm tired of holding it back. I'm tired of my limping Christianity. I'm just tired of it. I want to walk straight out and get rid of the walker. Man, let's get out of here. You know. People say, you know, people say Jesus is your crutch. No, most Christians are on walkers. And they're just, and they're around on walkers. And, you know, they got enough of God to, you know, make some things good, but things don't really get good. And you get the point, you know, to me, one of the greatest blessings of commitment to Christ is getting over myself on things, is getting into that place where I could still have peace and joy when things were going wrong. If you can't have peace and joy when going wrong, this is not criticism, but you ain't become a disciple yet. And when things go wrong, it just always throws you. You ain't become a disciple yet. One of the biggest things that I found that happened to me right away is with the fact of salvation. It's just like Wanda, you know, it was one of the things that she said to me about when I asked her why she accepted Christ. She told me one night when I came home, because the Lord said, don't preach to her, don't do that. She don't trust you. One night I come home and I said to her about it. And what was the big thing? She said, I'm living with a different man. And it was all because an incident happened. There was a thing that would normally have made me ballistic. And this different man didn't go ballistic. And she said, I couldn't believe it. She said, you would have went berserk before. She said, you didn't make nothing over. You see, you become, you're not the same. It's not the same person anymore. See, all this time until she turned around and accepted Christ, God had been taking me through things and taking me through changes. One of these things in life as you come to one of the most wonderful things I love about Christianity is this. I'm not worried anymore. I'm not afraid of what happens anymore. I'm at peace. I'm going to tell you what. There ain't nothing. There isn't no amount of money God ever gave me that can compare to that. There's nothing that anything He's blessed me physically with can compare to that. I lived 30 years in the earth and had none of that. Glory to God. It is so nice to not to be worried all the time. Where am I? What's going to happen? What about my future? What about... It is nice. You can just take a deep breath. Praise God. In the middle of trouble, you can take a deep breath. That's wonderful. There's nothing better to be at peace. But I want to tell you what, you're going to make a commitment to Christ to get there to that. Because the world can't offer it to you. Your life can't give it to you. His can. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now listen to what Jesus said. Jesus said about this decision. He didn't stop there. This is what Jesus said. Oh, what king? Going to make war. He said, against another king does not sit down first and consider whether he's able with 10,000 men to meet him who comes against him with 20,000. Or else, while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks for conditions of peace. See, he's giving it. What do? You think about it before you start a war. Make sure you finish this thing. Do you know why the United States has been messed up so much here? We have gone off mad about things and what nations did to us and never thought, you know. I remember this guy's name was George Bush, and he said Afghanistan wasn't going to end up to be a Vietnam War. It's been longer than Vietnam. And when he did it, you know, Vonda remembers, I said, that man is just full of junk. He don't know a clue thing. He ain't ever been in a war. And I know United States, this thing is, people are going to be suffering with it for a long time. Why? Because they ain't going to war. They're going to have a police action. It'll never end. Till you kill the enemy, they ain't going to quit. We found that out in the Second World War. You know, they started off and said, don't bomb the German cities. Civilians might get killed. Well, those civilians turned into soldiers and killed our people. While the do-gooders said, oh, we just want to be nice. They wore their little lace underwear and walked around and, let's just be good and kind. Don't go to war if you don't want a war. That'd be a novelty in America, wouldn't it? The Afghanistan war. You know what? You know how much we accomplished in Afghanistan? Nothing. Nothing. Not a thing. We're talking about leaving, and you know what? They're over there picking up, fighting all the more. As soon as we leave, it's going to be all over. It's going to be what Vietnam was. As soon as we leave, the Viet Cong took over and the North Vietnamese took over. I said in Vietnam, that's exactly what's going to happen. They're just going to come take over. This is a place of just walking out. But you know what? I don't blame our president. You might as well walk out. If you're going to keep doing what they're doing now, you might as well. Don't. Ain't nobody else. Why should any more of our people die for it? You know, let them die for their nation. If they ain't willing to die for their nation, forget it. Don't go to places where they ain't willing. If they ain't willing, it's like the church. If the church ain't willing to listen, don't bother preaching to them. See, we got all this thing of chasing people around, trying to do what they're supposed to do. Has it worked? No, it don't. Well, why? There's commitment. You sit down and decide, can we finish this thing? Can I win this war? Now we see the guy, Jesus said, even though he gets the point when he'll get in the middle of it and say, you know, maybe I can't do this after he's done made a commitment. Now he's going to run out there and try to get this thing stopped. Let's see if I can make a treaty. Would have been better if he'd have said no to begin with. He took time to find out. See, this has to be about being a disciple. Do you really want to be a disciple? Verse 33 says, so likewise, whoever you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. So Jesus is saying to make this kind of commitment that he's asking for, you don't do this thing overnight. This isn't something you just sit down right here today. See, one of the things that I don't care for, I don't like when you go into these meetings and they'll do offerings and then you go into them and then they'll try to make you, they want to make people their partner by just, they're harping on people to become partners and they begin, that ain't right. A commitment to somebody, you need to take your time in doing that. It's one of the things is here in this church, there's people, there's ministers that I allowed them to, you know, come up to ask you people if you want to give, but I know what their character and what they're like. They don't hammer you. They give you an opportunity if you want to. They'll tell you, Ken. There's information. They'll say, take one home, and you decide. If you pray about it, you think these people, they're harping. You got to, you know, make a commitment, make a commitment, make a commitment. Don't you do that. When people are doing that, that's ungodly. It ain't right. I'm not doing that to you today. Make a commitment. No, I want you to give thought about the commitment you want to give to Christ. Because it's a commitment you're going to have to make. Being forced into this thing and told you got to do this, that ain't right. God will not force you to make a commitment to Him. And no man should ever be doing that. Human beings are not that stupid that God didn't figure they could make a decision on their own if they were given the right things to think about. God thinks more of you than most ministers do. I don't want you to make some kind of off the wall because you hear these things of what you need to do. You need to sit down and give thought. See, I sat for months and gave thought about my commitment that I was going to make for Christ. And that's why that night I sat down and I spoke to God about the commitment I made to Christ. You don't see that today. It's all about you just turn around, accept Jesus and bang, you said, I'm sorry. It don't work that way. You got to come to the place sometime in your walk. Billy Graham had to do that. Billy Graham said he never made Jesus his Lord. He had never made a commitment to Christ. He wanted God's salvation, but he hadn't made the commitment to it. But he finally came to the place where he made a commitment to Christ and accepted Jesus, you're allowed to Lord over me. Well, we're supposed to do that going in. We're not told that today. See, that's why God wants to bring truth back into the church today. Much truth's gotten left behind. Today, we want the quick fix church, you know, just hurry up and make a commitment. Hurry up, make a decision for Jesus. Hurry up, we're all got this thing out here, you just hurry up and do it. That's not the Bible. That's man. That's American culture. That's McDonald's Christianity. And the Spirit-filled people have it as much as the Lutherans and everybody else. It's McDonald's Christianity. Folks, haven't you, look at your lives, you folks here. Hasn't taken a lot of your life to come to the place of spirituality that you're at? What has it taken you to do that? Has it been something you went from first base and jumped to third base? It didn't happen. It's a life of work. You know, you guys have heard me say this. You know, salvation's free, but it's going to cost you your whole life to live this thing. That's the way it is. It's not to quick make a decision and quick do that. We have all this. There's one of the things that I've learned about faith over the years, and I've learned about how faith works. I am not quick to just jump. If I need something or something's going on, even though I like to see it changed in 10 minutes, I have learned enough over time is that when I'm going to step out in faith, I want to know that I'm ready to make that step in faith. And sometimes it takes me some time to get myself ready to step out. Most people, something happens, it's pray for me, pray for me, pray for me. Why pray? It ain't going to work anyhow. Because you ain't prepared to receive it to begin with, because you just off the spur of the moment, not even thought at all. It's just, let's get it fixed right away. There's loads of stuff. If I would have been walking right, I wouldn't have needed a prayer. It would have never happened. I opened the door to it. Have you ever done that? Or is that just me? There's problems I caused by not thinking, not giving thought. I built towers that never got finished. I started wars. And it was too late. I couldn't get it stopped. But we're there. And see, I learn over time. You learn over time, man. I learned, slow down. In our society, you know what? God slowed us down, didn't he? It's one of the best things that ever happened to you. It's one of the best things that ever happened to you. You got slowed down. You can't go on with that stuff. I'm just so busy. I'm going to tell you what, I knew a day like that would come. Either Christians were going to slow down, or something was going to fall apart and we would have to slow down. See, we never viewed it as sin. We thought it was wonderful. You're so busy. I get so tired of hearing ministers. I'm so busy. They're so busy, they ain't got no time for God. They ain't getting no revelation. They're preaching their little canned sermons. Most of you could know more about the Bible than half the ministers do. Most of you could do a better sermon than they could. At least it'd be from your heart and be the truth anyhow. It's the truth, folks. Hallelujah. But I want you to see this commitment. You know, we need to go to that place where we're going to walk in the commitment that God has for us. We're going to go over into next week. I'm going to give you some illustrations in the Bible because we want to do, because you don't, this is one of the things you don't want to do. You don't do anything under compulsion. And we're going to look at scriptures that are used dealing with this subject about compulsion. In the church world, leaders have learned how to manipulate people through compulsion. It's psychological. There's nothing spiritual about it. It's all psychological. And they've learned to use compulsion to get people to give to them and do things, stuff. They've learned to use that. But I want you to understand this. This is one of the things, you know, it's just like from the standpoint, because Paul talked about giving, you know, and you don't do it under compulsion. It's not the thing you're doing. See, it's one of the things like, with Mike. Mike takes offerings. If you feel that he's forcing you into something, you need another dip. You know, he doesn't, Mike just tells you the benefit of it, the blessing of doing, following the will of God. That's right. That's what you do. You give people opportunity. But you don't want to ever force people and make people make it. Because this is one of the reasons why many people never get the blessing of their giving. Because they're giving out of compulsion. They feel that I have to do this. You know, I was in a church with a pastor. And a pastor, you know, when it came to giving, you just got to give. You have to. If you don't, you're out of the will of God. Well, you're not going to get blessed giving under that. And he ain't going to get blessed preaching like that. You know? God won't force you to give. He wants you with a willing heart. Why? Because he wants you to be blessed. There is no such thing as faith and compulsion. I got to do it. God will get me. I remember Kenneth Hagin when I was a young Christian, and first time I ever heard it, he said, you know, God, you know, he wants people to tithe. But he said, there's no but place, he said in the New Testament, tells you God's going to get you if you don't. God ain't out to get you. He wants to bless you. Commitments and things are made because God wants to bless you. He wants you to have thought to where you come to the place where willingly in your own heart, you decide to do it. Why? Because then it's faith. It's out of your own heart with a willingness. Kenneth Hagin tells a story, and I've heard him tell this story so many times, but it's a good one. He went to the Lord. He was out in field ministry when he first went out, and everything fell apart. His car, he wore his car out, but he didn't have money. Things were going under. And he went to the Lord, and he went to the Lord in prayer, and he said, Lord, and he used the scripture in Isaiah where it says, you know, if you're willing and obedient, you eat the good of the land. And he said, Lord, you said if we're willing and obedient, we eat the good of the land. And the Lord spoke to him about it. The Lord said, yes, it says that. Well, if you're willing and obedient, you eat the good of the land. He said, you've been willing. He said, you've been obedient and you've went out to there in obedience. He said, but you ain't ever been willing. And Brother Hagin stopped, checked his heart, and he thought, yeah. See, he kept longing to go back to pastoring because he had money came in for him and it seemed really good. But he learned something. God said, you've been willing. And the Lord turned around and gave him a revelation when he became willing. He had to become willing to do it. He had to become willing to go do the will of God. You have to come to that place. See, this is what lots of times obedience is taught without willingness. Telling you, just, you got to do it. You got to do this. You got to do that. No, you got to come to the place where you're willing to do that. It's a heart motive. Your faith can't work. You have no place to get a thing from God just because you obeyed it. But if you didn't want to, if you don't have the want to, your faith ain't going to ever work. You got to come to the want to. I've learned that already on things. I wonder why things weren't working. And I come to the things and thought, you know, my faith ain't working. I ain't been willing. I've been obeying God, but I wanted to do something else. You know, I had to deal with this thing. You know, the last thing I wanted to do was be in Lebanon, being a pastor. Dear God, I'd rather be in China than in a cave preaching. That wouldn't bother me in the least. But coming to Lebanon and preaching, that wasn't my thing. Because I knew they weren't going to be all excited about the truth. Anyhow, but you know what? I had to get myself over to be willing. I had to get myself to be willing. You know, when we first come back to the area, I was not happy about it. And I had to get over Ed not being happy. See, it don't matter about this Ed being happy. What matters is me doing the will of God, willingly doing what He wants me to do. And that's where I came out, became my confession. And I start to say, you know, that this is my place of milk and honey. If I'm where God's called me to, this is the place He has to bless me. If He don't bless me here, I can leave. Because then He's unfaithful. And you know what He did? He wanted to keep me here, so He blessed me. And He did. He's blessed Wanda and I here, and He always did. He worked things blessed you. Why? Because this is the place that He called me to. And as you got to come to the places, this is where I'm at. This is where He called me to. I need to learn to come to the place that I'm willing, and I don't complain about it. I hear people, you know, they complain. You know, I don't know one minister that sit around and complain. I've known many ministers that have come in and out of this area. Gripers. And it never works for them, and it can. I don't care if God called you here. They weren't willing. They were obedient and came, but they weren't willing. And stop saying, no, God put me here. If I'm here, Jesus comes, and that's just the way it is. That don't matter to me. I'm in the perfect will of God. He has to bless me. If He don't, He's a liar and a fraud. And my God ain't no liar and fraud. He must bless me here. So see, it's important. See, we got to sit down and look at things and take time. And I just want to encourage you today. We're going to take communion. And as we take these communion elements, you can go down and have them bring the kids up. As we take communion here, I want you to just think today of the commitment that Christ made to you. See, this is one of the things. The church, I mean, we look at just from the blessing side that we get from this. But what did Jesus commit so you could have the blessing? What did He commit? See, the Bible tells us we're supposed to be like Him. We don't teach about commitment like He committed Himself. We don't teach that. See, he's like, did he give himself? Did he give his life? Was his life worth giving in this whole thing? See, and we look at that. See, it's things that we can learn. It's revelation to us. This is what he did for us. He's worthy to be Lord. He should be able to lord over me. Look what he did for me. Do you think he's out to hurt me? My God. If he wanted to hurt me, all he had to do is not show up. Ed would have got hurt, for sure. I'd have been eternally separated from God. But you see, his intent was to bless. That was his intent, was to bless. And as we go to the these communion elements, we go to this. Jesus gave everything. He gave everything. Now just think that. So you could have his inheritance. Think about that. Most Christians, if they heard tomorrow that some billionaire gave them their inheritance, they'd go nuts and go crazy. Yet that God didn't give them 0.1% of what Jesus gave. And they ain't real excited about it. See, he's looking at the value. He's sitting down and looking at the value. And see, you know, I don't know about you. You know, sometimes I got to sit down and I realize within myself, I'm not looking at things in perspective the way they really are. I have my view. I have my ideas. But when you sit down and really look at the view, look what Jesus did for us. We're children of God. God lives in us. Our authority is from the seat of the throne of God itself. In here and here. Think. We talk about in this earth, we squander and do all kinds of things to try to get stuff from people, to get people to recognize us, to get people to pat us on the back, and to get people, you know, to feel nice about us. You know, we want them to feel good about me. And not realize the position that God has given us. We wouldn't be so darn wimpy. We don't act like kings or priests. We're trying to get to be kings and priests. We're the rulers and the reigners. Hallelujah. That's what we are. We're not going to become those things. We are those things. The least in the kingdom. Just think, Jesus made the statement, John the Baptist. He said, this is the greatest prophet that ever lived. But he said, the least in the kingdom is greater than him. In other words, the prophets of the Old Testament, the least in the kingdom today is greater than the greatest prophet. Elijah ain't nothing to the least in the kingdom. Oh, and we marvel. You know, David, oh, my word, it's a church. Why? Because we don't know what Jesus did. Oh, the place that you sit in, the place that you are today. The gospel came what? So the poor would be rich. Most of America is in poverty because most Christians are in poverty. Oh, they got money, cars, houses, lands, but they're in poverty because they don't know the riches of the glory of what they really got, who they are, what they keep trying to become. It's like the Lord said to me years ago, it upset him so much because Christians keep trying to become what they are. They keep trying to get to be what they are. Hallelujah. And I said, guilty. Hallelujah. What God has made you, all because of Jesus Christ. And we take these up. You've become one with the body and the blood of Jesus Christ himself. You're one. You and Jesus are one. You're not going to be one. You are one. We're the body of Christ. God views us, views the church as Christ. If you are not one with Christ, you have no place to get any prayer answered. The name of Jesus is not something just thrown out there. The reason the church has the name of Jesus is because we are Christ. In fact, Paul told the church at Corinth, we are, that we're Christ. Oh, today people get all upset and get their garlic around their neck and put their crosses up. Oh my God, he's preaching blasphemy! That's why the gospel isn't good today. The gospel, this weakened thing, this watered down stuff, they don't think people could handle the truth. The sinner is waiting for somebody who has the guts to say it. Because God can't back up our lies anymore, and He won't. Our half-truths, He ain't behind it no more. Tell people the truth. We speak the truth in love. God loved me so much when I was a sinner, He told me what I really was. Well, because I could have got offended. Been stupid if it would have. But God wanted me to know. Why? Because He had something better for me. He had a salvation that was greater than the salvation that's offered today. We have a weak salvation offered. It ain't got half in it, and it's not half as good as it really is. Our salvation is so much better than it's been offered. Hallelujah. I want the whole thing. Tell me the truth. Tell me the truth. If there's something I want in this gospel, tell me what the truth is so I know what I have to do to get it and I can make a fair decision of whether I want to make the commitment for it. But don't lie to me. Years ago, I had a guy come to me who had come to Christ. And when he came to Christ, he had all these things they talked to him about and that stuff. And he said to me, he said, I don't understand it. He's told me this. He said, they come and preach to me about Jesus and come and accept in Him and His salvation is so free and all my good. And he said, now they want me to walk this certain life. He said, why didn't they tell me that when I came in? And I said, you're exactly right. They should have told you. This is going to cost you your life. Salvation is free, but it's going to cost you your life to have it, to live it out. It's going to cost you your life. That's what it is. And how many people have been in that category? Over the years, I've run into people in that category. They told me, yeah, come and say, gee, just like, oh, you just come and get this and life is just wonderful and good and everything else. And they don't tell you what it really requires to do this. But the blessing's in it. The blessing's in it. The blessing's in and following it. Not just getting it. Not just getting in the door. Let's tell people the truth. So you commit yourself to this thing, if you give yourself to this thing, the great blessing that's in this. What is in this? I have over 40 years now in this thing. It's the best life I've ever had. I look back and boy, 30 years of waste. 30 years of Ed trying to bless Ed. Boy, that went well. And in 40 years, I walked along and different areas of time, I come up how to make different commitments in my life to things and go from thing to thing along. And all those years, it's all part of discipleship. It's all part of this being a disciple. But when a person comes to the kingdom in the beginning and knows that there's discipleship coming in, that there can be a discipleship, and that's the place of blessing. When we don't offer that, we offer it as discipleship is something as you go along and you grow, then you become a disciple. That is scripturally false. This is why people sit and hear teaching and never develop. Because they got to become a disciple. A person who makes a commitment when they come into Christ. And they come into Christ to make a commitment. I will guarantee you, God will start revealing Himself to that individual. God will start showing Him. And God will show Himself to that individual more than anybody else in the group who won't make a commitment. And so when we teach people about commitment, which we need to do because we're depriving people. When we tell them there's another way and just, we lie. There's many believers out here, and even the Spirit-filled groups, they're walking around, they will never say it because you're not allowed to make a bad confession. They're wondering why things ain't working. They're wondering why things don't work for them. They're wondering why they don't, and you can't say anything because if you do that, well, you just need to trust the Lord. Say, no, you needed a better preacher when you came into this thing. You need somebody to tell you the truth about this thing and how it works. You need somebody to tell you it's going to take something. It's going to take sacrifice. See, years ago, see, I'm old school. I come from old school. You know, I had old school parents. Sacrifice. Thank God, I am so glad I came from it. Parents today don't teach your children sacrifice. They're going to grow up bad. Grow up bad. Don't teach them sacrifice. They're sacrificed. The things, you know, everything just don't come. You got to sacrifice. Hallelujah. But I'm going to tell you what. Sacrifice has the best payoff. Hallelujah. You ain't ever given God nothing that what He'll give back is 1,000 times what you gave. You gave Him your dirt and He gives you gold. That's what I've given. You know, I was amazed the things I tried to hang on to. how dumb I was. The things that take me time to deal with. And I look at it and think, oh my God, what was I hanging on to that for? Why was I doing that? Why did I want to get past that? Why didn't I forgive them? I know none of you have never done such a thing. Oh, folks, might as well smile. Hallelujah. But I hope this morning, the big thing I want you to do is we take today these elements. I want you to think about commitment. God wants you to ponder what he wants you to do. He wants you to come to the place where whatever it is in your life, say, what's he dealing with you with? I don't know. I don't know. You know, it's one thing is over this time period, you know, God has dealt with me some things I had to deal with. He had to, in those. But, I mean, it's been good because it don't lead to something bad. It always leads to something good. And say, what is God dealing with you on? He wants you to take the time to think about it. If you're going to make a commitment in a direction, I don't think we would have had nearly as many faith failures in life if we would have taken the time to stop about this commitment of faith and walking toward godliness. What is going to really take me to do this? What am I going to have to do? Am I really prepared for this? Am I really ready? You know, I know anymore on the inside when I'm ready to do something and when I'm not. I know when I'm ready. And there's one thing I know how to do. I know how to put the brakes on and stop and not do something. And I've learned by some of it, by my mistakes. God didn't plan it that way, but I just did good enough. At least is one thing. The average person don't even learn from their mistakes. They'll commit at least 5 more times in the next week. Is you learn from your mistakes. If you make one, make it a place of education. Make it a place. Make it a place of, now, I know that don't work, so let's sit down and ponder what I need to do and sit and do that. God wants you to do that. He's not forcing you today that you have to make this great commitment right now to this thing. God wants you ready because what? Without faith, you can't please him. He wants your heart in a position that you're ready to do whatever it is. God would rather have you take your time than turn around and just do what some people do. Just go run out there and, you know, well, Lord, I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that and then not do it. Remember Jesus told the parable about the two sons. The one said, I'll go out in the field and work, and didn't go. And the other one said, no, I ain't going, and then went. Which one did Jesus like? He's not after the guy who's the sprinter. He wants the guy that's in the race. You can't win the race if you've done fallen out. Only people that are still in the race can run it. So, are you in the race? Hallelujah. Or sometimes are you breathing hard? Yeah. Sometimes we breathe it hard. But I tell you what, we ain't leaving the race, are we? We're not going to leave it. Hallelujah. Father, I just want to thank you this morning, this race that we're in, this glory, this place that we are right now. Father, you've brought us here, and you've brought us here to teach us, to instruct us, to guide us.